Good morning, everyone. We are now in the season of Easter, and a time of special celebration of the resurrection. And that is specifically what we're going to be talking about today. The sermon that I have for you is specifically titled, Jesus Rose. It's a fact. It's undeniable. And it is the very reason upon which our faith is based. And that is what our service is going to be about today as we continue to bring these services to you through a camera in an empty room. But it's my honor to do that for you. We're going to begin our service with hymn number 464. We make our beginning in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So then let us confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our intro today is from Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robe. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. And for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people rescue from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness, and eternal joys through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. It reads there, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1. There St. Peter would teach us by the Holy Spirit, if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundations of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, glory to you, O Lord. That very day, two of the disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ." We'll sing our next hymn, number 464. Hymn number 464. Thank you. grace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus, the Holy Christ of God. Amen. Jesus rose. That is not a question. There is no question in it. It is a statement of fact. Jesus rose. The fact that Jesus really lived and that he was crucified and died at the hands of the Roman government are indisputable historic facts, confirmed certainly in the Bible, which should be all the evidence we need. But if you want more, it is also documented by numerous non-biblical ancient historians. To deny the historic life and death of Jesus Christ is to simply blindly deny reality. Jesus lived. That is a fact. Jesus died. That is a fact. Documented. Fact. Documented even by the church's enemies. Fact. What about his resurrection? There are many people who will easily defend the historic facts of Jesus' life and death, but who refuse to believe in his resurrection from the dead. This sadly includes many preachers and professors who would claim to be Christian, but who deny the physical resurrection of Jesus. Sadly, entire church bodies now deny the physical resurrection of Jesus. They do so in general because they simply reject the idea of miracles and claims that they cannot rationally accept. They will not accept anything they do not understand or cannot perceive through their senses. But the Apostle Peter assured us, we can be absolutely certain that Jesus rose from the dead. Peter explains Jesus' death and resurrection were in fact preordained by God, foretold in Old Testament scriptures by, among others, including David in the Psalms, and was personally witnessed by Peter himself and many others. We have no reason to doubt the most important event in all of human history. I would go further than that. The most important event in all of creation. Since God said, "Let there be light," and creation week ended, nothing so magnificent has occurred than Jesus walking out of that tomb. And nothing will. Not in this creation. The first reading we heard today is just a small snippet, a part of Peter's sermon. He was preaching to a large crowd who were in Jerusalem to celebrate the religious festival of the Week of Weeks, the Festival of Weeks, also known as Pentecost. They had gathered outside because they had heard a mighty rushing wind and had come to see what was going on. They listened to the disciples speaking in their own native languages, and they were speaking about the wonderful works of God. And then Peter begins his sermon. He begins by first explaining what was happening, what they were witnessing with their own eyes and ears. An ancient prophecy of the prophet Joel was being fulfilled as the Holy Spirit enabled God's people to proclaim his wonderful truths. And then Peter proclaims this. He says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. Him whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Did you notice Peter explains this event as the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God? You see, this was the plan. When God said, "Let there be light," this was already the plan. Jesus' death was part of God's eternal plan to save all mankind from the sin God knew Adam and Eve would buy into. The centerpiece of that plan of redemption and salvation was the sacrifice of someone so precious that atonement, that payment would be made for the sins of the whole world. Every sin, from grabbing that fruit off the tree in defiance of God to whatever the last sin committed ever will be. Payment for them all. Even the ones who don't believe. Payment for them all. That someone is the Messiah. Messiah has come. His name is Jesus. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. But then goes on to tell us, Jesus entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Peter states that Jesus' resurrection had to happen because death simply could not hold back the Lord of life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He declared himself to be so when he raised Lazarus. He showed himself to be so throughout his entire ministry. Jesus died, but he was only in the grave until the third day. He was then raised from the dead. 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, and there he rules over all things above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. He rules over all. St. Paul would later explain this powerful truth to the church in Ephesus. To the Ephesians, he writes, God raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Jesus' resurrection and ascension demonstrate that God's plan to save us and Jesus' ability to help us is real. That when God gives a promise, God keeps it. He keeps it in his time, in his purpose, and in his way, but he keeps it. The first promise he gave to humankind was to Adam and Eve. Not long after they sinned, the same day, the same afternoon, God promises a Savior is coming. You read, that's happened in chapter 3 of Genesis. You read the beginning of chapter 4 in Genesis, and you will get that they thought Cain was that one. They thought God was going to do it right away. The truth is, it took thousands of years. It took a flood. It took the time of Job. It took the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and a trek in 400 years of slavery in Egypt. It took so much time. But God fulfills his promises in his time. That's why we can live our lives with confidence. Even in these days in which we now live, these very uncertain days when we don't know if we should or shouldn't go out. Will we encounter the wrong person? Will the specter of death come for me? Even in these days, we can live in confidence. We can be absolutely certain that Jesus rose from the dead. The final point is this. A living Jesus after the cross isn't just a delusion. It was witnessed by people with their own eyes. It was witnessed by Peter and many others. Peter said, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." There is no more powerful testimony to the truth than the eyewitness. Peter and the other believers standing there on that first Pentecost, about 120 of the believers at the time, had all seen and had all listened to Jesus after the cross, after Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. They could testify that he was risen from the dead. In the gospel lesson we had today, Luke speaks of Jesus appearing to his disciples on Easter Sunday evening. They were confused and frightened, not knowing what to believe and uncertain of what really happened with all of the reports coming from all the different people. They had reports from the women of angelic messengers and a personal appearance of Jesus. They had eyewitness accounts by Peter and John who had seen how the grave clothes were laid. They're in an empty tomb. Mary Magdalene claimed to actually have spoken to Jesus. Two of those disciples had rushed back into the room after claiming to have seen Jesus as well, walking on the road to Emmaus. And while all of this is going on, and they're wondering what to think of all of it, Jesus stands in the room. He shows them his wounds in his hands and in his side. He invites them to touch them, to assure themselves they are real. The spikes went through his hands. The spear went through his side. He even eats in their presence to show them he is not some mystic being or spirit, but Jesus physically present. And then he tells them to tell everyone else. When all of these reports failed to convince Thomas, who wasn't there, Jesus dispels his doubt the following week. And there Thomas confesses, "My Lord and my God." What I want you to take note of here is the disciples were not willing to believe this. Jesus had to force it on them. Peter reports that while in Galilee, Jesus was seen by many people, including a single crowd of over 500 people. Jesus was definitely alive, which is why we still proclaim that Easter, that ancient Easter greeting, "Alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, alleluia." There are many who deny the physical resurrection of Jesus. They claim that the disciples were at best all hallucinating, or at worst, simply agreed to the deception. These suggestions simply don't hold water. They simply do not hold to the facts. The disciples believed Jesus was dead, and it took a great deal of irrefutable evidence in their own eyes To convince them, Jesus was no longer dead. They watched him die a horrid, torturous death. They saw it happen. They had to be convinced that had changed. Furthermore, every one of them died as martyrs. When you are given the option of a gruesome and horrible, torturous execution, or just say it's all a story and you can walk away, you don't die the terrible death. You don't die for a lie. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus' resurrection is in fact the very foundation of our faith. It confirms the forgiveness of our sins, the truth of the gospel message that we are to share, and the certainty of God's promise, because he left us with a new one. He left Adam and Eve with a promise, Messiah will come. He left us with a promise, I'm coming back for us. We can be absolutely certain Jesus rose from the dead. God keeps his promises. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Fifty or 70 years after the events we just spoke of, people sat down and said, we need to write down a communal statement of faith. This is the faith of the Christians. That was called the Apostles' Creed. Not the creed the apostles wrote, but the creed of the statement of, this is what the apostles taught us. If you don't believe this, you are not a Christian. We confess together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We go to our Lord in prayer. You have heard our pleas for mercy, O Lord, and given up your Son to be our Savior. Hear us now as we come to you on behalf of ourselves and for all people according to their needs. Our hearts have burned in us, O Lord, as your word has been read and preached. Keep our faithful from growing cold and grant us grace that we may not waver in faith or succumb to temptation. Give to us and to our children receptive hearts that we may hear and hearing believe and believing be steadfast in this faith and hope all our days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. You have cleansed us, O Lord, with water and the word in baptism, and you have marked us as your own people. Give to us grace that we may live out this faith in holy lives, lifting up your name in word and works for as long as we live. Guide us that we may purify our souls by living in obedience to your word and in brotherly love for one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guard our nation, O Lord, that we may enjoy peace and security in the face of threat and danger. Bless our President, the Congress of the United States, our governors and all state and local officials, as well as our judicial system, that they may fulfill their offices faithfully. Bless the members of the armed forces also who protect us and teach the nations the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Deliver us from all our afflictions and grant us strength to bear our burdens, O Lord. Hear us in particular as we pray for Carolyn, a friend, for Shannon Carrot, friend of Pam and Larry Waters, and for Robert Larson, the brother of Virginia Bly. These and all for whom we would name in our hearts, we pray. According to your gracious will, heal the sick, relieve those who suffer, comfort the grieving, and give peace to the dying. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These and whatever other things we need, O Lord, we pray you to grant us. In the name of and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose death has made full atonement for our sins, and whose resurrection has granted to us the promise of our own joyful resurrection to eternal life. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Here is the point where we would gather our offering. I would ask you for this. If you can do nothing else, offer up prayers. This is a tough time for the church. It's a tough time for our nation. Truth is, it's a tough time for the planet. Everybody is suffering under this right now. And we certainly need God's help desperately. Offer that first. If you're visiting us, please remember your home congregations and your shepherds who are doing their best to care for you during these challenging times. And by God's good grace, we will all be back together soon. Pray as our living Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And finally, with believing hearts, believing in a living God, receive the blessing of our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Amen. We sing our final hymn, number 482. 482. Again, good morning. I don't have much in terms of new announcements. If you missed them previously, the shut-in service will no doubt have to be canceled. I pray it is postponed. That was to be on April 29th, but now the sheltering at home extends far beyond that, so that will not be happening. The youth rummage sale is also postponed. If you have stuff you'd like to store, contact the church office. I think we have a place we can keep that stuff for you. That is what I know right now. I know there are plans to also postpone the voters' meeting, and that will be announced at a later date. We'll have to get word out to folks of exactly how we're going to do that. We just don't know for sure. If we do some kind of absentee ballot or something, we'll have to work that out and figure out what we can do to facilitate. We're supposed to elect new officers, who would start their office on August 1st. We'll just have to work that stuff out as we can and as we are able. So I will certainly be praying for all of you. Pray for me and all the shepherds. I just had a meeting with them, and they're all struggling with how to deal with this well and how to care for their folks. It's a challenge. So your prayers are most certainly appreciated. With that, let us go forth in peace to serve all people. Amen.